You're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Hello, I'm Eric Jansen. This week, stories from young and old, audio art and more from Youth and Elders and Out Loud Radio's Intergenerational Storytelling Project, and some highlights from this Queer Youth Radio's project's first decade. Before we even introduce the gaggle here jammed into KLW Studio C, let's hear an excerpt from one of their pieces.
I thought the world was going to be like that outside. Then I found out, no. I'm not kidding. This is a true story. Hello? My name is Dottie. Oh, he's a bad girl. I had a great time at this girl's school. I mean, I was a star athlete, and I was a lousy student, but I was a good athlete. And there were just girls everywhere. We didn't care about boys anyway, so this was couple hundred miles away from my home. I was there for 4 years, like going to prison, except it was so great. All these girls, you know, getting girls' beds. I mean, I was a bad person. And I've been a bad girl ever since, too. Yes. Well, it was pretty sad, you know, in a lot of ways. My father appeared one day, and he told me, said, you have to leave school now. And I didn't understand. They decided to expel me. But it's a terrible thing to do to a kid, you know, to expel them for having a little kissing fun. Come on. This other parent had objected, and the girl had told her mother or something. But it was hard for me, so I had to go back to high school in the community where my family was. And I felt that, being unwelcome. But the amazing part of it was that the next year they let me come back.
That's a piece from Out Loud Radio, a queer youth audio training program that's been helping youth learn how to make positive change in their worlds through web radio, audio art, and more since 2002. With me here in the studio is, first I'm going to go to Noah Miller, who's the founder and executive director of Out Loud Radio.
Hi.
Hi, Noah. And tell us about that piece we just heard, please.
Well, that piece is from just a week ago, and it's from one of our participants in our intergenerational storytelling project that is a group of LGBT teenagers or young folks and a group of LGBT seniors or elders, I think 61 to 91, and we've got the complete age spread of the seniors in the studio with us here today.
Fantastic. So if you would please, Noah, introduce your guests.
Sure. Well, we have DJ, who actually recorded the piece that you just heard. And we have Selwyn, who, let's see, so DJ, you're 22?
Yeah.
And Selwyn, you're 91. And Lorraine, 61?
Yes, that's right.
So tell me a little bit more. What is the Intergenerational Storytelling Project? Tell us all about that.
Well, the Intergenerational Storytelling Project started back in 2006, and we've done it, I think this is our sixth time. The idea is that young people in the LGBT community often don't really have much of a sense of their history and of the immense amount of struggle and work that people went through to make it possible for young people to have the relatively more open lives that they have today. But then there are also so many struggles that young people still have today that they have in common with the elders. And so we just wanted to get those two generations together. And from the very first time that we did that, I mean, it's been just about the favorite thing that any of us does. I mean, it's so incredible to see those people coming together and just bonding immediately. And we have so many stories that we're bursting to share with each other.
And so this particular group meets on Saturdays, and you just met the first time almost 2 weeks ago this coming weekend?
Yeah.
And
that
was pretty fast turning that around. So DJ, tell us a little bit about this particular piece. Tell us a little bit about Dottie. who we just heard from.
Okay. Well, Dottie, first of all, she's amazing. Dottie shared a story with me about going off to high school and being in high school with all girls. It was an all Catholic school. And with all these girls, and she was telling me about she's going around kissing all these girls, and that she soon found herself in a lot of trouble from the administration behind kissing all these girls. So she got expelled, and like she said on the tape, she was allowed to come back next year. But Dottie
that,
is,
and she said that that was she, because. All the teachers.
All the teachers were lesbians, because all the teachers were lesbians. So I thought that was funny.
Where was her high school? Did I miss that?
It was a Catholic school.
Uh-huh. So all these here nuns, in the Bay Area or somewhere else, or do you know? She's out of state.
Midwest, I want to say.
We'll have to check with her.
Okay, yeah. we'll find out later in the year when the full piece is done, right?
Yeah.
So that was just a snippet. Is this a part of something larger that you're going to create out of this interview with her and talking with her over the next several weeks, or how does it work? How does this whole project work? How long does it go, first of all?
It goes for about 6 weeks, but we'll have a chance to meet with all the seniors, all 12 of the seniors. And that interview was actually about 20 minutes, almost 20 minutes long, but we cut it down to 2 minutes so that, so that people get the full story, I want to say. But I definitely want to interview her again. I feel like she has so much more to share with me, so it'll be fun.
Fantastic. Thanks. So Selwyn and Lorraine, I want to hear from you a little bit, too, about how you found out about this program and, why are you doing this?
Well, I thought it was about time I got reinvolved in the community, which when I came out in the early 70s, I just called the gay community. And I'm just so delighted that, not that I'm into labels, but I think it's really important to have different labels that you can own and then discard in the search for who you are. And now it's the LGBTQQI, and I never really fit in. And now, at the age of 61, I really feel like my label is queer for everything, all the above, none of the above, outside the box, just be yourself and who you are. And that's the young people. So I got involved in this project. I was asked to be Fairleigh Parsons, who was the activities director for Open House, the LGBT senior group, asked if I would get involved to make a contribution to the young people. But I feel like I'm getting more out of it maybe than I'm giving. Being inspired, keeping up on issues, because we cannot let up on our vigilance. I don't care how much things have changed. They can change back. So it's important to connect the past and the present so that the future stays on track.
Yeah. Selwyn, what about you? How did you get involved and why?
Fairleigh asked me to teach an art class at the center.
Who's Fairleigh?
Yeah, I know
who's
Fairleigh.
That?
She's a very competent and active person. And so I taught the class, and that led to her asking me to join this intergenerational group. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, so again, Fairleigh works for Open House, which is an organization that has been around for the last few years, working with LGBT seniors, and this intergenerational project is a collaboration between Out Loud and Open House, and we're just so thrilled to be working together.
Great. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests here are Noah Miller, the founder and executive director of Out Loud Radio, and three folks from the Intergenerational Storytelling Project: Lorraine Grossano, Selwyn. Where'd I put your last name? Jones. So that's easy. And DJ.
DJ
now this next piece we're going to hear is actually not from the Intergenerational Storytelling Project, right?
But no, we're going to zoom back 10 years to the beginning of Out Loud Radio and hear the first piece that really went, that people heard from us across the country. And this was produced on the occasion of the Day of Silence, which is was started around 10 years ago, and it's a day when students mark or protest homophobia by staying silent for the entire day.
This is LJ Regine. I'm from Coventry High School in Coventry, Rhode Island, and today I'm going to be taking my little mini disc here around and interviewing some people about the National Day of Silence. Hi, Nicole. How do you feel about homophobia in our schools? Do you think there's a lot of it?
I feel that there's a lot of it, but, like, I don't think it's anybody's business what other people
like, if other people are gay?
Yeah, I don't see why they should have a problem with that. I mean, a lot of people are taught that it's wrong, and I don't see why they should think it's wrong. What's the difference in
exactly.
if you're straight or if you're gay?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a choice.
Just as we don't like to be judged because of what we wear or the things we say or the food we eat or whatever, we shouldn't judge anyone else. We don't have the right to do that.
Do you personally use the word fag or dyke or anything like that? Like, what do you say?
I have used the word faggot before.
Do you think it's a hurtful word, a hateful word?
I think it is a hateful word in some ways. I mean, it's become such a common word lately. I think it's wrong, though, but I have used it personally before.
Do you think maybe you could try, like, not trying to use it or watch yourself before you yeah. say something like that?
Yeah, I think everybody should try that.
All right. LJ here. Yeah, so, I'm gay. 15. In high school. It's not a fun job. Because people are mean, but I have lots of good friends. Deanna Carrera. Deanna Carrera is one of my good friends. She's in all of my classes, and I know that I've been interviewing lots and lots of girls of the female persuasion, but there's not a lot of people after school, and most of the guys that are after school are really scary and intimidating. They look like they're going to be in me because they're thugs, and they're like, yo, what up, dog? So, Deanna, how do you feel about homophobia?
Homophobia?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You don't have it. You make it sound like it's an STD, Deanna.
I know, I'm sorry.
Deanna does not have a homophobia, so...
Okay, you're like one of my best friends.
Am I?
Really, you are.
So, but how do you feel about gay people in general?
Well, there's some gay people in my family, so I kind of grown up with it around
Do you think them. It's a choice?
Well, in some cases it is.
If I was to do the National Day of Silence, hypothetically, would you join in on me with a card saying, I'm not speaking today out of recognition for people who have been silenced by prejudice and hate crimes? Would you participate in that?
Of course, because hate crimes aren't only to do with gay people.
Right, but this is, I think, yeah. Okay. Thank you. I think there's a lot more gay people than people actually realize. I think we should just be free to love whoever we want to love and be whoever we want. And being gay isn't all of us. It's just a part of us. Being gay is just one tiny part of me. I just enjoy kissing other guys. That's basically it. And, you know. You know what? I could use this as my personal dating service. Hi. 15. Really cute. Want a date? Yeah, that'd be me. Okay, I need to find more people. Hello. I came out when I was 14. I was a freshman. You know, people weren't really that cool with it at first because, you know, I was new here at Coventry and people just really weren't that cool about it. And people were always like, you know, oh, fag this, fag that, or you're a fag. And, you know, they talked to me like with like a lisp. They'd be like, hey, what's up? And stuff like that. And I'd just be like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know. I don't get what the whole lisp thing is. Like, who started that? Like, I don't know anybody who talks to the lisp who's gay. We're just not exactly, yo, what up? I think that seems to be a problem here, is people don't know a lot. In high school, guys are so insecure about their bodies and themselves and how they feel, so it's natural. Hi! Basically, what I'm doing right now is I'm going around and interviewing people about the National Day of Silence. For Out Loud Radio, this is LJ Regine from Coventry High School in Coventry, Rhode Island.
Homophobia is gay, according to my friend
Amanda. And there you heard it, LJ from Coventry, in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, yeah, that was one of the first things that we did, and we haven't done a lot of collaborations outside of the San Francisco Bay Area since then, but that was a great way to kind of kick things off.
And you are listening to Out in the Bay, not Out Loud Radio, but we're featuring Out Loud Radio today. Out Loud Radio is celebrating 10 years this month.
Yeah.
And so Noah Miller is here along with some producers. And how did that piece happen to get on NPR? That's a long 10 years ago, and you'd just started then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 10 years ago, I was almost could count myself as a youth myself. I was 23 years old and had recently graduated from college and had always really been into radio and had also just a couple years before come out as queer myself. And I was looking for some way to tell young LGBT people's stories on the airwaves, which I just found there were none of. I mean, I loved hearing people's stories on the air, and this was a group of people who I identified with who I didn't hear anywhere. I started trying to experiment as a documentary producer. I went to a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade school that had a gay-straight alliance, and gay-straight alliances were kind of a new concept at that time. And these were 6th graders doing it. It was in Berkeley. I was documenting their meetings, and they were doing protests and all this stuff. One day, I ended up leaving some of my recording equipment with them because I couldn't stay. And the stuff that they recorded was a million times better than the stuff that I had been recording,
wow,
of course.
Cool.
Because when you have kids talking to other kids, youth talking to other youth, it's so much more genuine. Mm-hmm. And so that really confirmed for me the idea that we should get together and make this thing that would get queer youth voices out on the airwaves. And so here we are 10 years later and celebrating some amazing stories and some amazing people who have been involved over that time.
So let's move on and hear the next piece. This is by Nico. It's called 10th Brother. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this is coming back to the present, because Nico was a participant in our podcast program just this past summer. And in this podcast episode, which we're just going to hear an excerpt from, Nico just basically introduces himself.
What I can remember from 6th grade through 8th grade was the boys asking me, why aren't you hanging out with the girls? Because I would always hang out with the boys, and they would get annoyed, they would get angry, they would get intimidated, and they would get scared because there was a girl playing with them, and girls aren't supposed to play with boys in middle school, you know? Especially in 6th through 8th grade, you know, boys are, like, staying in their own pack, you know? Like, they don't let other girls in, and the fact that I wanted to be like them, the fact that I wanted to be a boy like them, was so confusing to them that it was like, you know, just get out of here, just don't interact with us, we don't have time for that. Hi, my name is Nico, and I have two moms named Elizabeth and Sally. Sally is Caucasian and Elizabeth is African American, and they have been together for 35 years. They have 12 children. I have 9 brothers and 3 sisters, 13 including me. So there was always around 3 or 4 of them living with me at a time. Yeah, I have a very big queer extended family. I live in a Victorian house which has many rooms. I would always see my brothers working outside with big power tools and, like, all this cool stuff, like, digging up lots of dirt and, like, their muscles going and, like, throwing the ball for the dog and just doing all this stuff. And I always grew up around that, lots of masculinity, and I was just this little girl trying to figure out where she really belonged and, like, if she was a she and stuff like that.
That was Nico, 10th Brother, a piece you said that came from this past summer.
Yep.
You're listening to Out in the Bay Radio. We're hearing some things from Out Loud Radio. Mm-hmm. Noah Miller is here. He founded the program 10 years ago. You said it was primarily for podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do have our stuff on radio stations all over the place. But we also, you know, in one thing that's changed over the last 10 years is that there's this thing called the internet that has become sort of popular, I hear. So we put a lot of our stuff out through Facebook, through podcasts, and a lot of people are hearing us that way.
I'm curious to know how it compares. How many people are you hearing you online as opposed to on radio stations? Because you don't have an actual existing regular radio broadcast, mm-hmm. right? So you'll play pieces, submit pieces to different stations around the country, or mostly here in the Bay Area. How does that work?
You can hear us on KLW from time to time. KLW has been a really awesome partner with us.
Mostly on Cross Currents programs,
uh-huh,
or
okay, that's right. And also some other of the local public radio stations, Our stuff goes out over something called the Public Radio Exchange, which makes the shows available just to any public radio station that's a member of that network, and they can play it as they choose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We do have a couple more places to play. I'm trying to think if I want to do that next, or let's just play another one. Let's just keep on going. This one is Max Singh, if I said it right, his name right. It's called That's My Song. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had this project where young people talked about a piece of our song that was really important to them and had some personal message to them. And this is one of my favorites that came out of that project. Max will explain. This is from, I think, about 2004.
And I want to let our listeners know that I would really appreciate your comments on the pieces that we're playing, because we're considering having some out loud radio pieces on our program from time to time. Perhaps, well, we haven't had one for quite some time now, but I've been thinking lately it's about time to do this a little more often, and I would like to hear from you what you like, what you don't like, and I think that Noah and the producers would like to hear, you know, we always like feedback, we're attention junkies.
Absolutely.
So please do let us know what you think of these pieces, and you can send an email to me, send your comments to me, eric@outinthebay.com. That's Eric with a C at outinthebay.com. Okay, now let's hear That's My Song.
Hi, my name is Max Hing. I'm a 12th grader at George Washington High School, and I am a youth outreach worker and a member of our Gay Street Alliance at George Washington High School. My song, my favorite song, oh God. Well, right now it'd probably have to be David Bowie's Under Pressure with Queen, Freddie Mercury. I don't know, it's just, whenever I hear that song, it reminds me that the human race is in this world together. And it kind of reminds me of, like, the AIDS crisis and what happened to Freddie Mercury. He died of AIDS. It also reminds me of my cousin's father, who was a gay man in the 1970s, and he wasn't out. When he did come out around that time, he was still a good father, but he was like a kid in a candy store, kind of, in the Castro, and not a lot of info was out about AIDS. I mean, it was considered the gay cancer, but they didn't necessarily know what caused AIDS. And so he was having a lot of fun, and he contracted it, and he died later. And my cousin grew up without a father.
Love.
And I always, you know, I always thought that if more people at that time, you know, cared about each other, even the, you know, the queer community, I just think if that they'd been more interested in it sooner and had informed the public, that maybe my cousin would still have her father here today. And that's what David Bowie's song reminds me of. Don't let our differences separate us, but unite us. You know, give love one more chance.
That was Max Hing. That's My Song, a piece produced by Out Loud Radio in 2004, a little bit early in the organization's history. Mm-hmm. And Noah, tell us about this 10th anniversary celebration you have coming up.
We are so excited. So we have been thinking for a while, our 10th anniversary is coming up. How do we want to celebrate? And we decided that we would do it with a public event, which is going to be on November 14th at the Brava Theater here in San Francisco. And we're honoring, of course, our youth, who past and present, who have been courageous enough to tell their stories through Out Loud to the world. And we're also really excited to have Ari Shapiro, who, if you're an NPR listener, you will have heard kind of constantly for the last couple of months, because he's the NPR White House correspondent, and he's been covering the campaigns. And so he's going to be on stage in conversation with some of our young folks, including DJ here, actually. And we're just beginning to prepare for that. And with Scott Schaefer from KQED you know, food and drink. And you can find out all about it at outloudradio.org. We really hope that you'll come.
Outloudradio.org, that's Wednesday the 14th, which just happens to be the exact same time and night that Marilyn Pittman and I are being honored for our contributions to journalism by the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association Northern California chapter. So you have two queer radio events to choose from. You have no excuse not to attend at least one of them on Wednesday, November 14th. Find info on Out Loud Radio's at outloudradio.org. Find out about ours on our Facebook page, Out in the Bay, and it should be on our website very soon, outinthebay.com. And that brings us to be almost out of time. I want to thank my guests so much for being here. Noah Miller, Executive Director and Founder of Out Loud Radio, DJ, one of the youth producers in the Intergenerational Storytelling Project, Selwyn Jones, one of the participants in the Intergenerational Storytelling Project, and Lorraine Grassano, also one of the participants. Quick 10-second parting thoughts, anybody?
It's great to have choices. Two queer events on the same night. You know, I came out at Rutgers, I'll tell you, it's great to have some choices. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, avoiding security guards to get to a meeting, and you know.
I would love to have you folks back on again towards, you know, after this round of the Intergenerational Storytelling Project is over, and play some of the pieces that come out of this current incarnation. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW, our host station, for studio use and airtime. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.com, where you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. And again, if you listen back to the program, tell us what you think about some of the queer, the Out Loud Radio pieces that we played earlier tonight. We've been producing Out in the Bay for 8 years this October. We love your words of encouragement. We could use your financial support, too. It's easy and tax-deductible on our website, outinthebay.com. Make a contribution, big or small. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. Write to us, Eric at outinthebay.com and Marilyn at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.